subscribe, man.
Welcome back to another episode of the OK Games Podcast. I'm here with Pat.
Hello!
I thought you were going to go full like, oh.
I was going to, and then I chose not to.
Well, I'm, for those that don't know, I'm Brian. So, just me and the boy Pat this week.
Me. It's just a couple of fellas. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing all right.
Hanging in there, right?
I get asked this question like daily at work, like, hey, how you doing? And I just, my go-to response as of late is, I'm just doing, so that's how I'm doing.
I'm very much a hanging in there. I'm a hanging in there guy.
Yeah.
Because I get that a lot at my job, too. Yeah. I'm still, like, relatively new. Like, I just passed, like, the six-month mark at this company. Mm-hmm. So, like, when people, like, hey, how's it going? Like, how you making out?
Yeah.
Very much hanging in there. So,
yeah, everybody in my store is basically in like the same boat. So we're all like miserable together. So when they ask me, I'm like, I'm just doing, man.
We're doing.
That's it.
Nice. Yeah, work sucks. You know what doesn't suck, Pat?
You?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I was gonna say video games. Video games.
That
tight.
Too.
Well, yeah. A video game is pretty dope.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can assume that everybody knows what we're playing. Because everybody else is playing the same thing.
If you don't want to listen to two guys talk about Elden Ring for the next, like, half hour, you can just tune out. Because that's pretty much all you're going
to
get.
Or you can listen to the next, like, 5 to 10 minutes, because I'm going to talk about Far Cry 6 for a few, and then we're going to talk about Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we start with that for sure. I also played Horizon before Elden Ring came out, so I could speak to that a little bit too.
Yeah. So prior to starting Elden Ring, I beat Far Cry 6. Oh God, excuse me.
You're excused.
And I will say that it's honestly, I think, my favorite Far Cry since 3, like, for sure.
3 is a good one. So that's good. It's a good company to be in.
It just, like, gameplay-wise, it just, like, really feels really tight. They changed up the, like, Far Cry, like, formula that started with 3 enough that, like, it was more engaging for me. Like, I wasn't just going to do an outpost over here and then another outpost over here and then another outpost over there. Like, they were outposts, but they changed them up enough and rewarded you with different things from them. So it, like, you know, it was enough of a change up that it helped.
So speaking of that, actually, because I, to be completely honest, Far Cry 6, besides the fact that Giancarlo Esposito is the villain, mm-hmm. for those that don't know, that's Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. He's in plenty of other stuff, but that's where most people know him from. Besides just, like, his character and, like, the promotional material and, like, thinking that was cool, I ignored everything about this game because I'm just so over and done with the series. Mm-hmm. But I did, you know, when you go back to, like, you know, Far Cry 3 and 4, like, I very much enjoyed my time with those. Far Cry 3 specifically, that was, like, the first, like, venture, you know, into, like, the formula that they're doing now. Yep. But I did, you know, I do remember reading something about how they changed the outpost system and, like, a couple things yeah. from previous games. So can you speak to that a little bit just so... you know, from my yeah. knowledge.
Yeah, so they add a mechanic in the game called a wingsuit. I don't remember if there was a wingsuit in the other in 5 or 4.
I think there was, actually.
Or
the hand glider was in one.
Yeah, that was 4.
Yeah.
I don't remember if there was, like, a wingsuit or anything really in 5. I don't think there was. But you get a wingsuit in 6, and it's a separate form of fast travel. So, like, you know, you secure an outpost, you can fast travel to it, and you just teleport, and you're just on the ground in the outpost. The wingsuit will allow you to fast travel above the location and then wingsuit from there and, like, get to, like, maybe an outpost that's a little further away or, like, a location that you are trying to get to but don't feel like running to it, and you can just fucking wingsuit to it.
I could have sworn that was in 5.
I don't remember it being in 5. I feel I would have used it more because I literally used it constantly in this if it was in 5. I might be wrong.
I'm gonna look that up quick because that might sounds familiar, but
it might
maybe
have,
you might be having a few.
I'm wondering if maybe it was in 5, but the mechanic, like the fast travel mechanic, wasn't.
Yeah.
There was probably a wingsuit in 5. You just couldn't like fast travel above an outpost and like go places. So the way they get around you being able to just literally fucking fly everywhere you want is they add there's anti-aircraft cannons like all over the map, like everywhere. And they have like a radius around them that you, if like the outpost you're trying to wingsuit from falls within that radius, you can't spawn in on a wingsuit. So then you have to go take out the anti-aircraft cannon, which frees up that airspace to allow you to wingsuit to wherever you want. Destroying that anti-aircraft station also gives you a I think it's like spent uranium or something. It's a currency.
It's a currency.
It's a currency you use to get like, you know, the promo material with like the crazy backpacks that like you like shoot missiles and shit out of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the currency you use to like buy other ones of those. So there's like a bunch of different ones of those. Like I just used the fucking rocket one because it's like it was really good and it could like take out helicopters and shit. Anytime a helicopter showed up, I would just shoot that shit off and it would just track him down and fucking blow his ass up.
That's
good. So yeah, you use that the uranium you get from the anti-aircraft cannons to purchase they're called Supremos, I think is what they were called. So it all like kind of ties into each other. Then there's the like kind of normal outposts are like road checkpoints. Those are like your generic outposts. It's just like, you know, a couple guys around, you kill them and you the outpost is yours. But those are situated mostly along like main roads. And then there are military bases, which are also just like kind of a little bit of a bigger checkpoint. And those usually have like secret, like locked rooms that you can get into that'll give you like maybe like a better, there's like legendary versions of the generic guns you can get. So like instead of like the regular M4 that you would be using, you get like a named M4 that has like attachments that come with it already. So there's like they added like actual benefits to doing all of these things rather than just opening like visual space on the map.
Okay.
Which none of the outposts do anymore. So when you capture an outpost, it doesn't like clear the fog of war on the map anymore. The only way to clear the fog of war, from what I can tell, is like traveling from location to location.
Okay.
Not even wingsuiting. You can't even like, if you're wingsuiting, it doesn't clear up any of the map. You have to actually like physically either run, ride a horse, drive a car, whatever.
Is the map like ridiculous
in
this one?
It's pretty fucking big. Yeah. It was all
right.
But the wingsuit specifically like really helped with getting around. Like I probably would have had a much worse time if that thing didn't exist, honestly.
All right, that's cool.
But yeah, I really appreciate the way, and they actually have like it's like there's like a gear system in this too. Like there's actually like helmets and like chest pieces and like boots and shit that give you benefits. Like so it's not just like you running around as like basically a fucking one man army. Like you actually, I mean, yes, you are still a one man army, but you also have like actual equipment that you can like
Through. You're wearing armor now.
Yeah, you can actually like put like, you know, I forget what the specific set is called, but it's like something Fuego, and it like helps with like fire resistance, and like there's some other shit that helps with like poison resistance and like stuff like that. So they actually have like gear in the game now that you can find around the map and stuff that like helps you out. So they added a lot of little things that were nice. That were like,
yeah, it sounds
actually like welcome. Like,
yeah, I think not. You know, it's been I played 5, so I really can't say like I haven't played a Far Cry game in a while. But I think the longer I put this one off will probably benefit me, because like returning to those games after a little bit of hiatus, it's kind of like, yeah, these are fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's
They get a lot of shit just because, you know, people love to complain about, you know, games that or annual releases and have a similar formula.
Yeah, so, honestly, like, even, like, the way the game controls, it felt really fucking good. It was, like, one of the best-feeling first-person shooters I've played in a long time. Like, genuinely.
That's tough on console, too.
Yeah, like, I actually, like, felt good playing it on console. Like, I didn't have any problems.
Yeah. The last first-person shooter I played on a console that I didn't hate was Halo. And I didn't even finish that campaign, which is a shame.
I haven't started it.
It's you know, it's fun. I'll leave that at that. But, like, I even played, I'd say between PC and console, I probably have, like, a split timeshare between, like, multiplayer on both. Like, there's something about, like, I guess it's just because, like, maybe that is, like, muscle memory. Because, like, when I used to play, you know, hours and hours of Halo 2 multiplayer, it was on the sticks, as they say. So, like, you know, took a little bit of getting used to, especially with multiplayer, but, like, it just, that's just a first-person shooter that controls really well on console, so, yeah. But outside of that, it, like, I have a hard time being like, well, what's a good one, so.
Yeah, I played.
I'm excited to play Far Cry 6, I'll definitely check it out. I picked it up this week, it was on a really good sale, it was like $20.
Yeah, so. It's super worth it for $20.
Yeah. I also bought Cyberpunk for console.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, I'm a sucker. It was $20, and I was like, this might look really cool on the OLED, and, you know, because I have it on fucking PC. I played, like, 25 hours of it when it came out, and it was, like, a buggy mess, and then I stopped playing it. So maybe now it's better.
Yeah, I'll eventually, maybe.
Some people fucking swear by it. Like, they say if you can get past some of the bugs, man, there's a good game in there. So
I can. There are games that I can get past bugs. I can. I've played Bethesda games. I can get past bugs. But some of the fucking bugs in that game were a little bit more extreme than just getting past them.
Yeah, no, I had some real fucky ones on when I was playing on PC.
Yeah.
And then, like, the console versions, you know, everyone said that they were just totally broken. So, yeah. Which apparently the last, like, really big patch fixed that up a bunch. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, it could be something I just turn on and be like, okay, this looks nice. Cool. It's very neon and colorful, and then I turn it off. So.
Yeah.
But it also is cool because it's like a game that you can get for like $20 right now, and it has free next-gen upgrades.
Yeah, and it's also like really big for $20.
Yeah, it's like an 80-hour game, yeah. Like easily. So, which is, you know, it's good value there, I guess.
If that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's if that's what you're looking for. So, speaking of big games, I played about, I don't know, it was like 10 to 15 hours of Horizon Forbidden West before I started Elden Ring. You know, came out again at like just the worst time. Came out the week before Elden Ring launched. So, Horizon, the thing I'll say is that if you like the first Horizon, you're going to love this one. It's just, you know, they just double down on, you know, some of the combat mechanics. They double down on, like, the open world stuff. You know, it starts slow. I will say that. Like, there's a tutorial, not a tutorial area, but, like, you know, it does, like, the very video game thing where there's, like, a very linear section to start the game, and then it just, like, dumps you out into the open world.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the first, like, couple hours. So it's not as bad as, like Assassin's Creed, you know, what was that last one? Ragnarok? Or what was the one
Valhalla.
With the Viking man? Valhalla. Ragnarok was the last expansion,
DLC.
That's why it's not like 8 hours like fucking Valhalla where it's like, oh shit, now I'm in the open world.
Yeah.
I've heard Far Cry 6 is pretty bad. It's like a few hours before you get dumped into the open world, right? Like they start you on like an island.
Yeah, in Valhalla?
No, Far Cry 6.
Oh,
did
yeah,
something
not
like that.
No, they do. It's not. It's very fast, though. They like
okay.
You spend yes. maybe like 3 hours on like an island, and like you do some stuff there, and then eventually you travel north. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. So like that, I'd say that's probably pretty similar to Horizon. You do. It's like it's actually a pretty cool set piece with like what you need to do, and like you fight like a really cool boss at the end of it. They introduce like a new giant fucking robot. You know that is like a creature, like a snake or something.
Whoa.
Yeah. But no, Horizon is definitely one of those games that, like, if you have PS5, it's 100% worth picking up just for, you know, and I hate to be like, oh, but just for visuals alone. but it's like the easily like the best looking game on console. It's gross how good that game looks.
Yeah, I've seen clips.
And also just and like, yeah, it's wild how good it looks. And also just like how fluid the combat is sometimes. Like it could be a little janky at times just because like you're like this lady fighting these like fucking giant T-Rex robots. And they just fucking like slap you around. But like when things are going well and like it just feels very fluid.
Yeah.
You know, but that it depends. Like if you liked the first game and you liked fucking pecking off machine parts with a bow and arrow, and using like some other, you know, they give you a fucking a whole arsenal. Like it's some of the shit that was in the previous game, but they expand on it. There's, you know, different types of weapons and stuff. So, but you know, it's definitely worth your time, I'd say.
I plan on playing it, but I went from Far Cry 6 right into Elden Ring, which are two both open world
forget
games.
It. Yeah, fucking forget
so,
it.
So my next game is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's like
a nice
a linear story
like
game,
20-hour like, game.
Yeah. So I'm
gonna, I also have that. So maybe I'll do that next.
So that'll be
follow,
my next
follow the path.
That'll be my next romp, because the next like three games I have on the docket are all like kind of big. So.
That's just it, man. That, and, like, people, like, no, like, you know, you always see, like, games journalists and people who are like, I want a linear 8-hour game, and then, like, something like Elden Ring comes out, and, like, everybody's fucking freaking out about how great it is, and it's like, well, here's a fucking 120-hour, like, easy 120-hour game that is, like, super obscure and just full of ambiguity.
Yep.
Like, it's just, like... You know, but people want that too, I guess. So it's like, you know, no one can ever make up their fucking minds.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So, but yeah, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this one here, Pat. Let's talk about Elden Ring.
Hey.
So.
I'm not an Elden Lord yet.
Neither am I. I'm not an Elden Lord. The two boys that are Elden Lords are not on this week's episode, and that is Andrew and Dan. So.
Yeah.
They have both finished the...
They have both completed the journey.
Yeah, they are Elden Lords.
In the lands between.
Oh, God. So I want to start with this. I think this is a good launching point for this conversation and just talking about Elden Ring in general. I wish that I could play Elden Ring like the way that it's intended to be played, where I don't have an iPad next to me with 15 tabs of guides. And, like, you know, I wish I could just turn it on and just fucking run around like an idiot for fucking 5 hours and just, like, stumble into everything. Mm-hmm. Because, like, that's where this game, that's where, like, it's at its greatest. Is just, like, when you're just fucking, you know, on Torrent and you're just, you know, going between all the different areas on the map and just, like, discovering things.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's very few people that get to play the game that way.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I am kind of just coming across everything. I'm not looking up like where dungeons are, where caves are.
So the way that I've been doing it, and I didn't mean to cut you off there, but it's I'll follow up my point about how like you know because like I say I have 15 tabs, but like that's not just like hey go to from A to B. Like you know it's like I have like. Weapon guides and build guides open and then like some other you know it's just you just kind of fall down the rabbit hole of just like Elden Ring stuff but I am doing it in the same way where like I'll get into an area and then I just kind of like explore but like as I what I've been doing and what I did for the first two major areas is like after I completed like the big major boss of that area then I looked up like the map like the interactive map and then went back to any dungeons that I missed.
Gotcha. So I'm not even really doing that. The only stuff I have up is I have like a weapon comparison table just to see like what weapons scale with what for like you know the stats that I'm focusing on.
Sure.
And every once in a while I'll pull up like if I'm in a dungeon and I can't fucking because some of the caves and dungeons and shit, mostly the dungeons are. Can get real complicated on how to like just get to the boss and
oh, yeah.
Like I'll run around it for like a half hour and be like I can't do this anymore and just look it up because it's like I don't it's like you have to like hit two illusory walls like one after the other to like find a staircase that leads down to the boss. I'm like I wouldn't have ever done that, so I'm glad.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. There was one I did recently where you have to go under an elevator.
Yeah, I did that one the other day, too.
Yeah. I was fucking so... It was, like, probably 20 minutes of, like, just running around this dungeon, like, losing my fucking mind.
Yep.
And then I finally got frustrated and
looked up. Yeah, you have to go into the pit that the elevator... that you come in at the start. You come into it. You come into the dungeon, and you go down the elevator and then go off into the dungeon. And then in order to complete the dungeon, you have to send that elevator up and go under it.
Yeah.
So... I just did that one the other day. So, like, that's stuff that, like, you know, you're so programmed to not ever go near
an
elevator when it's not like, level with you. So, like...
Yeah, because you usually just fall to your death. So, it's like, okay.
But other than that, like the build I'm doing for, like, my character build right now is completely, like, just... You know, I've seen TikToks and shit of, like, people using some of the incantations I'm using. But I... thought they looked interesting. I was like, I'm just gonna do this build thing, and I'm working on a build that, like, I didn't look a guide up for. I just kind of am winging it. And so far it's proving effective. But yeah, like, to your point, the just stumbling into shit, like the first Knights Cavalry I fought, like I was just riding Torrent, and like I came across a bridge, and homie was just like, yeah, we're fighting. Like, yeah. It just popped off right away. And I was like, whoa. So, like, I think that's probably one of my favorite things about it is, like, you know.
Yeah, the first few hours of that game, like, you know, like, fuck, man. The game, like, tries to, like, push you in a certain direction with, like, the Sights of Grace that have, like, the light.
The little, yeah, like, the guide light, yeah.
But then, like, if you're at, like, you know, you come out of the, you know, the fucking tutorial area out into the first steps. And then if you go, like, to your right into the lake, like...
It's dragon.
Stumble into a fucking dragon boss fight within the first, like, 4 hours. Like, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of, like, just, like, the fucking wonder can happen. You know, it's like, it, you know.
And I think that's, that specifically is, I think, my favorite thing about it is, you know, like, Dark Souls and Bloodborne and Sekiro are all, like, you know, when you're approaching a boss, it's, you know, you got the fog gate. Or whatever, like, you know that you're approaching a boss. You know, in this, they can... You just, like, literally stumble on them. Like, you just be traveling, whatever, and, like, a fucking gargoyle will come flying out of the sky and fucking, like... Like we're fighting now, and I'm like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, there's been a few of those in the open world where just, like, you're running around, and then randomly, like, the music picks up, and something comes fucking screaming in.
Yeah.
But, like, the Souls games have been... They found a way to expand on that with the open world mechanic, but they have been doing that for a while. And, Grant, you're right, though, and, like, obviously... You know, Dark Souls, all the Souls games leading up to, you know, to Bloodborne and Sekiro, they're obviously linear. But, you know, specifically in the early Souls games, they found a way to do that sometimes where, like, you'll feel safe, you'll feel like you're in a good area, and then something will just fucking, you know, come crashing through the wall and fuck your shit up. So,
yeah, I just like the, like, specifically in regards to the boss fights, like some of the boss fights in this were like, you know, I can see literally from like the first Sight of Grace that you get to once you get out of like the tutorial area, there's a boss like right there. Like he's like 100 yards over in that direction and you can go fight him right away if you want.
And I feel like that is done specifically was like a design choice that they were like, this is going to like make or break people because people are going to be like, oh, this is the first guy I have to fight. But, like, it's there to teach you a lesson that, like, just leave. Go.
Yeah, like, don't run. Don't do that yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this man is going to murder you repeatedly. Yeah. Like, don't do it yet. Don't be stubborn. Go fuck off. And, like, you know, I think, and, like, we've had this conversation in our Discord, okgamers.com. Shout out to that. The link, that's a link to it, by the way. And, like, you know, there's some people in there who've said, like, oh, I had to, like, I fell off of other Souls games because, like, there would be that one boss that I couldn't get past and I'd be banging my head against the wall. And, like, they didn't feel like just running through that same area 100 times to level up. Like, there in Elden Ring, you can go to an entirely new area of the map and just explore and just find something else to do. So, like, that is certainly an aspect of this game that's new for the Souls genre that, you know, certainly, you know, kind of just, like, flip the script, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, being able to... So. which is why, like, me and you specifically have been saying this is probably, like, one of the more, as big as it is and, like, as daunting as it can be, probably one of the more accessible, probably the most accessible Souls game.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Just having that option to just go away and still, like, feel like you're making progress somewhere else when you can't really do that in a lot of the other games.
Yeah, that's the thing that's, like, it's a tough conversation because, like, I've played all of the Souls games since Demon's Souls on fucking PS3. Like, I've played them all. And, I could say that, for the most part, they're linear and they're not. Like, you know, like, Dark Souls 1, specifically, like, that's one where, like, you could fucking stumble into the Valley of the Drakes within the first, like, handful of hours and be like, oh, shit, I'm not supposed to be here. This is terrifying. And then end up on, like, a totally other side of the map. Like, yeah, there's certain areas that are inaccessible because, like, you have to clear certain bosses, but there's enough, like, areas that, like, intertwine that are new that you can explore to. So, yeah, it's not open world in the traditional sense where there's, like, fast travel points on the map and you can fucking get on a horse and run around. But, like, that map is layered in the sense that it leaves room for exploration. Mm-hmm. And they've done that even in, like, Dark Souls 2. Like, when you get spilled out into Majula, I think that's the hub city, either way, or the hub area. Like, you can go, like, there's, like, three or four different branching paths that you could just, like, yeah, there's one that they ultimately want you to go down, but, like, you don't have to. You could stumble into the fucking, like, graveyard area or, like, down the giant pit. Like, you know, like, it's not new for Souls games, but they were just able to be like, all right, now we're doing it on a fucking super grand scale.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, for people, is, like, the way, because it's traditional in the open world sense where you can just go wherever, you know, but which is obviously very different from Souls games, but it's also still very much like has that formula of I'm supposed to go here and do this boss, you know.
It also very clearly has its, like, you know, story checks where, like, you have to kill this boss to, you know, continue onto this next boss or whatever. Like, it has those points, but I think it's just the sheer scale.
Oh, it's what ridiculous. You're working with,
and
yeah,
like
it's
the sheer size of the map and the explorability of that map. Like, looking at where the bosses are like fucking, like, microscopic in comparison to everything else that's going
on. Oh yeah, when you, like, now at this point, I have 50 or 55 hours, and, like, I zoom out on that map and I'm just like, oh Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Like, there's points fucking just sprayed all over that goddamn thing. It's ridiculous. I've seen some people say that they feel like there's too many sites of grace.
Some of them are a little weird.
Yeah, no, I feel like they just, like, in some are very specific in the sense of, like, okay, we have to put one here because, like, it leads to a boss room or it leads to an area that you need to go and, like, you know, it has to be here. And then there's ones where it's just like, I feel like they just fucking close their eyes and then just, like,
clicked,
like, you know, like, okay, these are all great. These work fine. The one thing I will say, though, is that, and this is, like, the formula of the original Souls games, there was, like, panic all the fucking time when you were clearing an area because you were, like, there's that, like, that moment of relief when you see the next bonfire. When you have 80,000 souls, like, you've cleared an entire area, you're ready to level up, but you don't know what's around that next corner, and then you get to that next corner and there's a bonfire, and you're like, oh my God, fucking thank Christ. Like, that is, like, removed in Elden Ring, because the sites of grace are fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, there's only been, like, a couple moments where I'm like, all right, I'm kind of running around with a lot here, but, like, with Elden Ring, because, like, there's just a vast open world and so many new areas to explore, like, I never really felt like I had to worry about my runes. Like,
yeah, I mean,
because if I lost 40,000, like, yeah, that would early game, that's like 10 levels, so that's going to hurt. But, like, you know that you're going to be able to recoup that relatively quickly.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if you'd call that a complaint, but
I mean, I would say that it leans more. I mean, it could be a personal complaint for yourself.
Yeah, I feel like because the formula's just changed, so it's just different. You know,
I mean,
like,
I think that lends itself to the accessibility of the game.
Yeah, it's definitely,
you know, like,
not as
it's
not a dick.
It's
punch.
Not quite as punishing. Like, yeah, it sucks, but it's not like, you know, Dark Souls 1, and you have 40,000 souls. you die in a boss room, and then you die on your way to the boss room, and like lose all of them.
It's a little different. Yeah, 100%. And like I've had this conversation with Dan a bunch because, and Andrew too. He, you know, the last year he replayed like all of them, so it was all very fresh to him. Like in some of the earlier Souls games, some of like the runs to get to boss rooms, awful, fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Specifically in like Souls 2, that was really bad in some of that. And I even like in Souls 3, they got better at it. They would always put like a bonfire relatively close to the boss room, except for like one or two. But in like, you know, in Dark Souls 1, there's just some that are just, it's like, this makes no fucking sense. And then there was even a mechanic, like there's the curse mechanic in Dark Souls 1, where it's like, you can get cursed like pretty early on in that game, and then you need to find like a consumable to like, you know, that takes away that status effect. Mm-hmm. But the curse mechanic halves your health.
Yeah.
So like there, you know, like those earlier Souls games were way more punishing. So like in terms of from an accessibility standpoint, Elden Ring is definitely way easier to chew on for people that are not familiar with the franchise. So. Yeah.
I mean, it still does shit to like fuck with you. Like, you know, the first time you meet Fia and you give her a hug, and then you don't realize that she debuffs you until you do a thing,
10% of your overall health.
Like, yeah, like you don't notice, and like you're like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why am I dying in two hits all the time? And then you're like, oh wait, she gave me a thing. So like, you know, it's still got those things. Like, I can't remember from any Souls game, including Bloodborne and Sekiro, that had quite as many ambushes as this game does.
Oh, they're everywhere.
I get ambushed fucking constantly. Constantly. Every room I walk into, I have to stop at the threshold and then spin my camera around and look to see if there's something in the corner. Because every fucking dungeon has at least two to three rooms that you get ambushed in. Whether it's from the ceiling, the corner of the door, fucking sometimes from underneath you. Like, it just... The sheer amount of getting, like, of ambushes is stupid. But they also, the my three favorite words since playing this game, Steak of America. Yeah, that the fucking thing that, like, helps you spawn at a boss, basically.
Yeah, they're great.
I love those fucking things. And, like, you know, that is another thing, like, just to go towards the accessibility conversation, like, that pretty much eliminates that having to like run through an area to get to a boss. Like those things are literally outside of boss rooms.
Whenever you're strolling up though, to like you're out in the open world and there's like a big,
you see a stick
on the ground, you're like you're going in like a valley and you just see that fucking thing, you're like, something fucked up's gonna happen.
I get that way too when I see the little summon, like the saying that your summon is available on the left side of the screen, and I'm
you know, shit's about to go down.
What's going on in here? there's still like a lot of like shit for, you know, veterans, obviously, and like
this is like the culmination of all of their releases, like just dumped into one, and it's just like,
and just like the sheer, I think one of the more off-putting things in regards to Dark Souls and even Bloodborne is like when you're making a like a character build, you're like locked into like that build, like that's like what you're doing. I mean, some games you have like some respec, you can change some stuff around, but
you're starting as
what you want. Like, just go do what you want, and you can literally...
I don't know when they added respec. I don't know if respec came... I think Dark Souls 3 definitely has a respec mechanic.
I believe
2 does, but, like, 2 is very much, like, you have to get... Like, you have to, like... I feel like I'm talking out of my ass right now. I don't remember it specifically, but
this is,
like, a very generous...
Like, hey, just like, do what you want. Like, try shit out. Yeah. Like, experiment. Find something that works for you. Like, from what I can see, from what I've seen online, stuff like that, like, yeah, there are meta builds that people are, like, using or whatever, but you can use mostly anything. And, like,
I've even seen... I've watched a lot of build videos because I wanted to see how creative people have gotten. And, like, there's people who are doing, like... And like it's been viable in the other Souls games, but like no one really ever does it. But you could do straight bow builds, like you could do a ton of shit, which is just so cool. Like, and I also think that just like there's so many aspects of Elden Ring that we're gonna like just gush over for forever, pretty much. Like, this is like kind of setting the new standard for like Souls games and just other, like, it's, this is gonna, other genres are going to start to, like, pull and pluck things out of this. And, like, we've seen it happen before, you know, like other, you know, like Mortal Shell and Neo, like, they try to be Souls-adjacent, Souls-like games. But Elden Ring is definitely, like, you know, setting the new standard.
Yeah,
I think combat is a big one, you know, a big selling point because of just how varied it can be. You know,
yeah.
you're not just like a fucking dude carrying around a big sword, or not a mage. Like, there's, you can get super fucking creative, which is so cool.
Yeah, I'm a lightning mage with a sword whip.
Yeah, I'll never forget the first time I got invaded in Dark Souls 1 by someone who's dual wielding whips, and I was like, because usually you get invaded in Dark Souls games, and you're like, you just see like this giant fucking knight with like two halberds, like, oh, this man's just gonna pummel my ass. But there was like this cloaked man with whips, and I was like, oh, I could take this fucking guy. And then I just immediately had like, I was bleeding, I was poisoned, dead in a second. I was like, oh, that was okay.
Yeah.
So like,
but
there's a lot of things that, you know, like, they've taken from the other games, and they've just like, all right, like, now it's like, here you go.
I genuinely feel like this is like kind of set the gold standard for like Western style RPGs. I can't think of a better one.
Yeah, it's tough though, because like, and the one thing that I'll say, and I was trying to make this point earlier about how like, if you could play Elden Ring without having like, my whole thing is like the fear of missing out, and like, I know I'm going to invest 100 hours into this game, and I don't want to miss one stupid thing that's going to lock me out of something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because Souls games are very much like that, where it's like, you don't fucking talk to this person about the weird thing you found, you know, in this, the bottom of this cave. It's going to lock you out.
7 hours ago.
Like, 7, yeah, because then you're gonna be like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah.
You know.
But that's the other thing about this game too, is that even with the side quests, it's super generous. Like, I was telling you the other day, like, Blythe, like, I met him after talking to Ronnie, and then I met him in Siafra, and then I didn't see him again after that until I got to Redmain Castle.
Yeah.
And then he just talked to me, like, hey, we missed our meeting, but anyway, and like, we just continued the quest like nothing happened.
Yeah, it's definitely
so, like,
very generous.
Like, compared to other fucking Souls games, like,
oh, forget
you,
it.
Like, you miss that person. If you're not at that, where that person is supposed to be, like, when you're supposed to be there, like,
yeah,
that's it. You're fucked. Like,
you forget. You're locked out of the rest of the quest. Yeah.
You ain't seeing the rest of it. Like, that sucks. Like, you find the person dead, like, 3 hours later over in a corner somewhere, and you're like, oh, well, that sucks. Like, and that's just kind of it.
Yep. So, it's one of those things where it's very much a me problem. And I will say that, like, and I mentioned it earlier with Horizon, that like, it, big open world game, a lot of shit going on, and like, you see people all the time being like, oh, there's just like, you open up the map and it's so congested, and like, it's just holding your hand constantly. And there's like part of me that like, that's gonna be refreshing.
Yeah,
because like,
bit.
I won't have to like think. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just be able to like open up my map, and I could just fucking, I can
like,
see everything I need to do.
When did I talk to this person? Where was this
exactly
person?
Exactly. I could just like, it's just, I could go back to that easy checklist of things. So like, I think they're like, both those games can exist and both can be good. It doesn't have to be like fucking one or the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, that's, I'll get off my soapbox on that, but like, I 100% agree with you that it's definitely, it's set in standards. It's I don't know what it's doing, but it's doing something.
It's like, the fact that you like, that they were able to take, like, if Dark Souls, like, From Software's level design has always been like second to none. Like, their ability to structure a game, like a game world, and like link it all together, and like, you know, you fucking, like, Bloodborne, for example, like, you know, you're in the first, you're in the streets of Yharnam at the start, and then you go to all these wild ass places. You go underground, like, fucking 10 hours, 15 hours later, you come up a ladder, and you're back in the streets of Yharnam again. Like, their ability to do that has always, like, blown me away. And, like, they do that in this, too. Like, you take this giant open world, and then you also take, you make a bunch of places under it. And, like,
mm-hmm.
Now you also have, like, a two-layered giant, like, open world. Granted, you know, the underground isn't, you know, completely linked together. It's not as big, but still. And then the other thing that FromSoft has always done really well is they're obviously, like, not, maybe not at the start, it was a little clunky to begin with, but as the games progressed, got infinitely better was the combat. Mm-hmm. Like the combat, like to start, yeah, was like not incredible.
If somebody, like, that's the one thing I wanted to say at some point, so I'll do it now, is like the success of Elden Ring, I hope that it like sparks this curiosity in people who are like, oh, I'm going to go back and check out the earlier Souls games. Because you can, if you have a PS5, mm-hmm. you can get the Dark Souls remaster, Dark Souls 2's remastered, all the PS4 games, you know, they're backwards compatible, all the way, you know, 1, 2, and 3. Like, just the sheer, like, oh, like,
yeah,
you know.
Going to Dark Souls 1 specifically.
The,
like,
how clunky that fucking combat is. Like, oh, forget it.
And just, like, I think the coolest part about it is just watching the, like, just playing each game and seeing the progression and how much better it gets.
Oh, it's
like
from awesome.
From 1 to 2 alone is pretty significant. And then from 2 to, what was it? Bloodborne came out before Dark Souls 3, right?
Yeah, Bloodborne.
So, yeah, from Dark Souls 2 to Bloodborne, which is an even more fucking stark contrast, because
the
shit you
can
do in Bloodborne is fucking wacky. And then into Bloodborne and then Dark Souls 3. Like, the progression and how good the combat had gotten.
Yeah, I mean, like, they started to meld them together. Like, you can see that there's a lot of, like, the blueprints of Bloodborne,
mm-hmm.
or some of the fingerprints are in Dark Souls 3,
yep.
which is how, like, quicker the movement is mm-hmm. and how faster the combat is. Like, Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 1 very much, too. Like, each fight is, like, a little bit of, like, of a chess match. And, like, you still get that now when you're fighting certain enemies. Like, you know, it was a total departure in Bloodborne where you just get these enemies that are just, like, relentless.
Yeah, like,
just,
they're like, up your
so,
fucking ass.
Everything's
the whole
so
time.
Fast. And, like, the object is to, so you're all supposed to be on the offensive. And, like, mm-hmm. the mechanic with, like, if you get hit them back, get some of your health back. Like, you know, like, they're obviously, you know, and obviously Sekiro was, like, the biggest departure where it was, like, hey, it's not all about, like, builds and, you know, getting crazy. Mm-hmm. And, like, the combat is just very, that was very, you know, straightforward. You know, it had its unique mechanic, but it was, you know, definitely the biggest departure. But,
The culmination of all that into this is, I think, the most impressive thing to me. And, like, to be able to combine their level design and structure an open world out of it.
Yeah. There
and
was,
then take all of the stuff they've learned in regards to their combat over the years and just also, like, just fucking slap that in there as a little something-something. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
Big-ass open world game. You like our level design? Have fun playing it too.
There's been a couple moments where, like, I've gone into, like, a branching path that's, like, dumped me out somewhere, and I'm like, oh shit, this is fucking crazy. Like, you're, like, in terms of, like, the scale, I'll say that it's, like, really remarkable where it's, like, you'll go somewhere and you'll get dumped out into, like, another fucking open world area, and you'll be like, mm-hmm. oh, Jesus Christ, like, this never ends. It's fucking just layers on layers. Like, there's undergrounds and fucking hidden cities and shit. It's crazy. But, like, I haven't had the moment. And I'll revert back to talking about Dark Souls 1, where, like, the opening hours of Dark Souls 1, like, specifically when you go through, like, the first castle, and then, like, you get dumped right back out into Firelink Shrine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you open up one of the hidden pathways, like, the first few hours, and, like, there was that moment of just, like, oh my god, this connects. Like,
yeah.
And then, like, that continues to happen. Like, everything kind of spills back into Firelink Shrine, which was, like, I always thought, like, the way you look at the Dark Souls 1 map is not, like, it's, you have to look at it as, like, it's layers. It's, like, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're kind of, like, maneuvering, like, up and down ladders, like, the
entire
time. Yeah,
it's almost like a tower, I think, right?
Yes.
Map.
That's the structure of it. Which, like, it's, I think that's just the way that they were able to, like, create a map that they were, like, it's, like, a big map in a small space, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
And, like, Elden Ring doesn't have that. It's just big.
It does have that, but, like, your example specifically, like, everything linking, kind of, like, linking back up to Firelink Shrine, like, it doesn't have that because there's not a hub area on the map. The hub area is, like, kind of off to the side.
Yeah.
But it does have that. So, like, Siafra River, for example, you find the entrance in Mistwoods.
Yeah, and you're right.
And then you go all the way through Siafra River, and then all the way at the other end, there's another elevator. You take that elevator up, and it drops you in Caelid. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Is it Caelid or is it East Limgrave?
It drops you in Caelid.
I don't know if I've gone out. I have to go back then. I'm curious where that dumps you out.
It's like in a valley. But, yeah.
I did. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I remember being in Caelid and trying to get into that valley.
mm-hmm.
and couldn't because yeah. there's a branch that leads to a dungeon, yep. but not to the base of the valley. Okay, yeah, no, yep. like yep. you're right. That's a good point. Like the level design is very creative, and there is interesting avenues that connect that you wouldn't expect them to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It doesn't all revert back to like one main area because it doesn't have to.
Yeah, so. You're not like exactly like you're not you, the like the thing that Dark Souls had for it was, you know, you had Firelink, you had that hub, and they yeah. were able to connect back to it and do like, you know, whatever crazy map design that they or level design that they did to do that. This, they don't need to do that.
No, because really. it's just so fucking big.
And like, you know, they are finding ways to do it, but you know, not in the same hub location all the time.
No.
They also have like those. Like, I love finding those little portals, those little portal gates.
Oh my god!
Just to see where it drops me. I just want to know.
Like, yeah. No. Like there's the.
I found one super early, and it just dumped me into the capital, and I was like, oh fuck.
That like, one's great.
I shouldn't be here yet.
Is that the portal, or is that a mist chest?
Oh, it was a mist chest. Sorry. Yeah, it was a
yeah.
mist chest.
There,
but
yeah,
still, like even those, yeah. Like even uh-huh. those, like I will let it take me, like take me somewhere, like I want
yeah,
to know.
Yeah, there was one early on that really fucked me up, and I dumped me into like the one of the dungeons in Caelid, and I was like, way underleveled and just was getting my dick punched in, and I had to yeah. I called in Andrew and Dan to help me because I just
help
couldn't
me
escape.
Yeah,
because yeah, I had like a ton of runes and it was just miserable, mm-hmm. and I just
yeah.
in my head I'm like, yo, how does somebody like what do you do?
Like I like
your friends.
I like that shit. Like just,
oh no, it's great. It,
I think
there's
it's
really.
Cool.
My whole thing is like I'm like, you know, I'm being like a shitbag because it's like I've played all of them and I'm just kind of mm-hmm. like it's not this one and I like that one, but like no, it's I'm just trying to like poke holes in it because
yeah,
it's like
no,
it's also just it's so hard to poke holes in this in like
know,
punch holes
is.
In it because it's like just, you know, I'm in a tough spot because it's like I love all these games. I've loved all of them since like the very beginning of it. So like for me, it's like I'm just, you know, in love with this. So it's like I want to be able to just to criticize it, you know, somewhat and not just be like, this is the fucking greatest thing ever, which is, I could very easily could just do that. I'm trying to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, I'll fucking lay a complaint out right now. I think the way they program some of the bosses is absolute horseshit.
In what sense? You think they're just like they're too ganky, or like they
one? There's a lot of gank bosses, which sucks.
The only thing I'll
but
say
I
to
think
that
that helps combat the summoning ability, the ability
that,
to summon in a like
yes,
an NPC.
They want you to summon, like
yeah,
that's
which
the
is,
thing,
which
yeah.
is fine. But like, I don't know if you had seen that. I don't know if it was a post or an article or something in regards to like Margit or Margit, however the fuck you say his name.
Yeah,
but
whatever
he. Is specifically programmed to punish you no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Like, he's specifically programmed to punish you if you try to dodge. He's going to punish you if you try to capitalize on an attack. He is literally designed to just fuck you.
I don't know. I've seen people
sucks.
Go in there and parry that man
oh,
10
yeah.
times in a row and just
yeah,
absolutely
sure.
just, you know,
sure.
ram
yeah, I mean,
it down
yeah.
his throat.
Yeah, you're going to have players that can just abuse the fuck out of anything that the game throws at them.
Yeah,
like, well, who's that? Sun He Legend or whatever that fucking does like those wild TikTok
yeah.
videos?
Yep.
But like, you know, for myself, who I would consider myself decent at the game, but not like that. Like, I'm not parrying.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck,
yeah.
But like, you know, I was having, granted, my build at the time also was not very good, but I had a fucking atrocious time fighting Margit, and I fucking hated it. And knowing after the fact that he's specifically programmed to just fuck you annoyed the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Like he literally goes into a stance and sits there and waits. And if you roll, he does a specific attack that hits you while you're rolling. Or if you attack, he hits you with something. Like, he mm-hmm. just, he's literally programmed to just, he's programmed to input read you. Literally, it programmed to input read you like a fucking fighting game. Like, that's what he does, and that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I do. There's a lot of bullshit in this game, but it's meant to be bullshit. Like, it's just supposed to punish you. Like,
yeah. And that being said, it's also not the most punishing of them.
No, I've had, like, I'm waiting for that boss for me. Like, in every Souls game.
Yeah, I haven't had that boss yet.
In every Souls game, there's always one that takes me, like, days.
Yeah.
And there has been a couple in Elden Ring that have taken me, like, I don't know, 10 tries, 12 tries. But, like, I'll go and do, you know, I'll go off and just do something totally different. Mm-hmm. I'll advance the story, then I'll come back to it, and then I'll get over-leveled. Like, I was having the hardest time with the Crucible Knight. The one that you find in, the Everjail, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fucking my shit up. Hated it. Was miserable. I, like, went into an entirely new area of the game, went up, like, 12 levels, went back and just fucking pummeled them. Mm-hmm. And was like, okay, that felt good. Like, so, like, you know, there's the availability to do that, which is nice. So, like, I'm waiting for that boss where, like, I can't do that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm at, like, the end of the game. I'm sure there's one tucked away in there that's just going to absolutely rock my shit.
You're really not even, like, at the end of the game.
No, I'm at halfway.
Yeah.
I was having the conversation with my girlfriend last night because she was like, you know, she's been watching me play this, you know, for 50 hours. And she's like, are you almost done with this? And I was like, honestly, I'm not. I was like, there's like at least another 50 hours. And she was like, that's fucking gross. I was like, I know. Like, I know it is.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even close.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had that moment either, really. I mean,
I haven't had my Garmin. I haven't had my fucking, you know, three-phase Nichiro or Sword Saint,
Sword
whatever.
Sword Saint
like,
Ishin. Yeah.
Sword Saint Ishin. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, me neither.
I will say that playing these games, my one point is, like, when I went back to Bloodborne to platinum it last year, and, like, fighting the old hunter, what is his name, the guy you fight at the very end, that, like, took me, the first time I was playing Bloodborne took me, like, 3 days, was miserable. Who is what's the name of the final boss? It's the guy in
Bloodborne?
Yeah.
Garmin.
Is it Garmin?
Yeah.
Who's the first, like, old hunter you fight?
Gascoigne?
Gascoigne. Thank you. I was confusing the two, and I didn't want to say it incorrectly, so I was asking
How
you.
How dare you?
Hey, man. Gascoigne, Garmin, you know, close enough.
Gascoigne is so fucking cool. It's such a cool boss fight. Sorry.
It really is. No, it is. But that's, like, that was, like, the skill check for that game. It was mm-hmm. That's, like, the you know, Elden Ring's, like, Margit. Like,
yeah.
Different, though, but... So, yeah, like, when I, like... Because Sekiro, like, teaches you how to parry.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back to Bloodborne, which is all about the, you know, parrying.
Aggression.
Being aggressive and parrying with the,
gun.
Exactly. Like, I fucking annihilated and wiped the floor of them. Like, first shot. And, I was over-leveled, so, like, I was able to just, like, I was hitting very hard. But, like, it just felt really good to just, like,
mm-hmm.
steamroll that man. So
I will be honest and say that I haven't playing... I didn't play Dark Souls 1 and 2. I didn't play either of those, but playing Dark Souls 3, Sekiro, Bloodborne, I had very challenging bosses, but I didn't have bosses that, like, I hit a wall like you and Dan had. Like, Garmin was probably the hardest boss I fought, but I didn't get stuck on him for, like, days. Same thing with Ishin. And I hope... As fucking weird as this is going to sound, I hope that there is a boss that does that to me in this, because...
You don't want that, man.
I do. Like, I see videos of, like, you know...
I know one. I know one that, like, I've heard is, like, is the one, like, the hardest fucking boss.
Yeah, I think we're thinking of the same one.
Yeah.
And, like, I am very interested to get to that boss and see if that is true.
I'm very curious if my build's really good for her. It's going to be really bad for her.
Yeah.
I'm very, very, if we're talking about the same thing, it's a her.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So I'm, yeah, I'm like, I want to experience that. And yeah. I also don't want to experience it because I.
And when I say days, it wasn't like I was like getting on at
no,
8
you
o'clock.
Weren't like, yeah, you weren't on for 24 hours.
Yeah,
days
like,
straight.
My,
but yeah.
When I say that, I mean like, so usually when I get to play games during like the work week, it's like I get on at like 8 o'clock and play for an hour or two. So mm-hmm. It was like those windows of time where I just was stuck on one boss, which don't get me wrong. Like playing 4 hours of a game stuck on the same boss is fucking miserable. Like, so I don't want that in this, but I'm sure it will happen. I'm sure there's one. Cause there's always like, I had it in Dark Souls 3. Like I cruised through Dark Souls 3, but also mm-hmm. like I summoned you and Dan a lot in that. Cause you guys were always like, a step ahead of me, Dan specifically. Like Dan.
Yeah, I think I can. I helped you with a few spots. I think Dan, because Dan, anytime Dan plays his game, he has like these games. He has the biggest hard on for like helping you, other people, whoever.
No,
because
that's like just, that. I mean, I'm 100% with Dan that like these games are punishing and meant to be punishing. So like, take any help that you can get. Like, Be a coward. Like, that's, like, just fucking do whatever you got to do to get through it. Like, you have to fucking summon five people, get five. Like, I don't think you can get five, but, like, if you could, do it. So, like, with Dark Souls 3, like, we just had, like, and the same thing, like, when I was playing Elden Ring last weekend, he did the entire academy with me. We had a fucking blast. It was so much fun. And, like, he was, at that point, he was definitely over-leveled. So, like, he was helping me just fuck shit up. But it was cool just watching his character, this obnoxious, like, knight man with these
giant piece of brick on his
just
stick.
Boulders, literally, yeah. Just smacking the boulders. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it was stupid. We're having fun. But, like, that's, like, these games when, like, you do use the co-op, like, it's very just wacky. Like, it's just, like, it's meant for it, but it's also just, like, it isn't in a way. Like,
yeah, I'm the stubborn fuck that won't won't allow people to come help me. I'd rather just do it myself.
Yeah, it's okay. We've accepted you for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more just like I want to be able to, like, brag that I did it by myself.
But the thing is that no one, like, there's
no.
No, like,
I know. Everybody's just like, why didn't you just have somebody help you?
Exactly.
Because I didn't want to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I love that. As long as you admitted it, like, that's the best part about it.
I know I'm a dumbass for doing it.
Oh man, that's funny.
I know. I have literally fucking. Who's playing? Me, you. Well, Dan's done. Andrew's done. John and Brad. So there's literally five people I could call on to help me, and I don't.
Oh man. So yeah, I'm trying to think of what other, like, talking points about Elden Ring that I'd like to mention.
Some of the, I don't think I'm gonna put the Bloodborne bosses in their own category and just not.
They're all
involve,
like,
them in the discussion, but some of the bosses in this have been probably my favorite in, like, the Souls games for sure.
Yeah, it's from, like, a design perspective, they all have their similarities, and Bloodborne's a different character because, like, they're all, like, supposed to be, like, just this fucked up,
crazy, like, space
Victorian
alien,
like,
things. And,
yeah, it's there's definitely a couple enemies in this one that I'm just kind of like, oh holy shit, like, this looks like this thing or that thing. Like, there's definitely some, like, you know, their influences are pulled from their previous endeavors.
Oh, for sure. The fucking the Erdtree avatars are literally just asylum demons just made out of wood.
Yeah.
Like, literally, they have the exact same moveset. They move the same. They have the same weapon. They just are made out of wood.
They're just made out of wood. I've seen a couple really good TikToks that, like, compare a lot of, like, the, like, what's the wolf that you fight in the academy?
Radagon's
Wolf
or whatever.
Yeah, that's Grey Wolf Sif. Like, that is very similar to that fight, except it's not carrying a giant sword in its mouth. It's summoning a giant magic sword in its mouth. Like, you know, like, they're pulling, you know, from their well of previous creations. So it's cool to see that, how they just, like, change things and make things, you know, tweak things. But, like,
change it enough that, you know, people aren't gonna. Yeah, a lot of people probably don't even notice.
I think the fact that this game. And I'm very, like, this is, like, the thing that is, like, I have a hard time racking my brain with, like, Dark Souls 3 is also a PS4 game. Elden Ring is also a PS4 game. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they're able to do more with Elden Ring because of the fact that, like, that's the thing. It's, like, I don't know, because it's running, like, from what I've read, it runs fucking fine on PS4. But, like, the map's fucking huge. There's a zillion things tucked away in this game. Like, you know, some of the set pieces for bosses are, like, way bigger than, like, Radahn's set piece. It's fucking, it's sick. It's so cool. Yeah. Like, so, like, I don't know. Maybe it's a hardware thing, or, like, they were just able to do it because, like, they made it specifically with that hardware in mind. I don't know.
You gotta remember, like, you know, when a console gets far enough in its life cycle, they're able to fucking do, like, they've worked with the hardware for so long that they can fucking do, like, crazy shit with it. Like, we've seen it a couple times. Like, at the very end of the life cycle, a game comes out, like The Last of Us, and it, like, looks fucking, like, incredible compared to something that came out, like, maybe 3 years prior. Like, it's just the way that they're able to manipulate the hardware after years of it being around is just better.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. So, yeah, it's I would agree that like some of the bosses they're up there for sure. I would love to see like once I'm done with it, I'll check out some tier lists of what people say in terms of like where they rank some of these bosses in comparison to the other games. But obviously, like as these games continue to come out for, like you know, if there's like a PS5, Xbox Series X, like Elden Ring 2, you know, that's just going to be even fucking even crazier because they'll be able to do even more with the hardware. So, that leads into this question. Obviously, being the fact that Elden Ring is such a fucking insane success as it is, they've already said that this universe is, you know, like there's going to be an Elden Ring 2, like. Or if not that, like some spiritual success, you know, sequel to it, you know, like maybe it might not be Elden Ring 2. There might be some other fucking wacky title, but, you know, is that like we can both agree that that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I think that this is where they're going to now. Like, this is going to be their next jump off point for a series. Like, maybe not a series, but like a standard for their games, probably.
Yeah, like we're not going to get a Dark Souls 4. We're going to get an Elden Ring 2.
Yeah, or something alike.
Makes sense. Yeah, I'm okay with that. The thought of like another one of these, though, is just...
Okay. Give me an Elden Ring with Bloodborne mechanics and aesthetic.
Hey, man, that very well could happen. You never know.
Fuck me up. Fuck me up.
It's insane that Bloodborne, 7 years is it's the anniversary. 7 years, I think?
Dude, 7 years, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. It still holds up.
FromSoft game.
Played
it's so good, man.
Played it last year at Platinum It, and it still holds up.
Such a good fucking game.
It needs a PS5 like coat of paint. It needs like it needs to look better. It needs to run better. It deserves.
Yeah,
it.
It's yeah, running a 30. That game deserves everything that you could possibly do to make it look as good as the Demon Souls remake. Give it to Blue Point. Let him do something with it.
Yeah, man, that would be sick.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that we can really talk too much more about Elden Ring.
Yeah, we can.
We could just sit here and gush, but we're not gonna. And just go play it yourselves, you jabronis.
Yeah, for the most part, I think everyone, you know, at this point has made up their mind whether or not it's a game for them, or you know, if like it's so fucking popular right now and it's everywhere you look, that like if you haven't made that like decision yet, you know, I think the media has like kind of made it for you, like it's just being rammed down everyone fucking their throats. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's 10 out of 10s everywhere. It's like, you know, just the media blitz. So but if you need our, like, you know, the OK Gamers vote of approval, it's definitely worth your time. Definitely worth checking out. So,
yeah.
It's daunting, though. Like, I'm 50 hours in, and then I'm like, I have another 50 hours of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least 30, I guess. 80,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it depends on how quickly you run through it.
Yeah. So, we'll see. I do want to, like, you know, even if, though, I definitely plan on getting the Platinum, because it seems very obtainable after... As long as you follow like a relatively loose guide in terms of like some of like the legendary
stuff.
Yeah, like the I think there's only one or two missable items you have to get at certain points in the story, because like the map changes. So if you're following like loose guides that just kind of say like get this at this point in time, you know, like you'll be fine, and then at the end you just kind of have to, you got to save scum, you know, the endings.
Yeah.
So very doable, which is cool, because the other Souls games are not,
yeah,
not very
usually
doable.
Require at least like two playthroughs.
Yeah. So, all right. So one quick news topic that I think is worth mentioning for this week. This news actually broke today that Sony's Game Pass competitor will be coming soon. The code name is Spartacus.
Dumb.
Dumb. So the real name will probably most likely be revealed next week. So this is, I'm going to paraphrase some of the article from Kotaku. So here it says Sony's, you know, unannounced plan to compete with the Xbox Game Pass could be revealed as early as next week. This is according to reports from Bloomberg. So it says that the rival Netflix / Game Pass like service for games, will combine existing subscriptions, basically saying it's PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now into a multi-tier program, saying that the different price tiers would include things like video game streaming, demos, and access to back catalog of old PlayStation games. So, pretty interesting. I didn't know this, that, so in 2018, oh, I'm sorry, I thought this was information on PlayStation Now, it's on Game Pass. We know how popular Game Pass is, I don't have to speak to that. Game Pass is fucking sick. That's something that I'm literally just going to pay for every year, regardless of how many Xbox games I fucking have or don't play.
Game Pass is dope.
Just because game of, like... Game Pass is dope. Like, I turned my Xbox on, like, 2 weeks ago. I downloaded the Hitman Collection. Told myself, like, I have it. It's downloaded. I'm going to play it. I haven't fucking touched it. But knowing that I just have access to it whenever the fuck I want is fucking
game
sick.
Game Pass is dope. Game Pass is dope.
So, yeah. I'm very curious to see the details of this. If it combines PlayStation Plus and it's like fairly priced, then I certainly could see myself going in on this. Because
yeah, I'll probably go in on it. Why not?
So, you know, especially if it's if they you know, if there's like backwards compatible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would love to revisit, you know, like some PS3 games or PS2 games that just like, you know, are inaccessible now, but if they make them like kind of like, you know, a download service type thing, I would certainly mess with that. It seems like a no-brainer for PlayStation, so.
Let me play the bouncer on my PS5.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it's about, dog. All right, you got any off-topic, Pat? Because it's the only news thing I really wanted to talk about.
I feel like I've watched something.
That's great.
Since... Like, if a full
Wait,
something?
It's been, like, a month since we talked on this podcast, yeah. So, like, there's probably a few things you saw. You want to talk about the Batman? You want to talk about how sick the Batman was?
It was fucking great. I never in a million years thought I would like the Riddler as a villain.
Yo.
and then they make him the Zodiac, and I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yes, fucking tight. The only complaint I have about the Batman is that, and, like, I didn't find this out until, like, the night before I went to fucking see it. Is that, like, this is, like, year two Batman. This is, like, mm-hmm. he's already, he's still fucking figuring things out.
Yeah.
Like, that is all, like, knowledge you're supposed to have about the movie, which is fine. But, like, there was literally a book that came out. Like, a straight-up, like, fucking, like, 200-page novel, like, establishing his character, the world, like, some of the precursor stuff with the Riddler. I watched like a 5-minute YouTube video like breaking it down the night before, and I was like, man, I'm glad I fucking stumbled into this because like it certainly helped flesh out things in the movie that like when they mentioned a couple things here and there, I'm like, okay, now I know. Like I fucking that
yeah. I didn't really honestly see the movie. I had knowledge that that book existed, and I didn't.
You don't
feel
need
like
it.
I missed anything.
You know, like you really don't need it, but like when you go into the movie with that, it certainly
just extra.
Yeah, it helps something. Because like they mention a few things, and like I'm not going to speak to it because I don't want anything to be spoiled, or even like loosely spoiled. But like, there's a couple things regarding to certain characters and story points that like they talk about in this book, and I'm just like, okay, like you know when they mention it, then it's like that little light bulb goes off, and you're like, all right, I knew a little bit about this beforehand. Neat.
Well, that's a good little bit of knowledge to have if you haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, check out the you know, just look up the Batman prequel book and it'll come up. And I'm not saying to buy it. If you want to, by all means, it's fucking cool. But just fucking watch some nerd break it down on YouTube.
Easy peasy.
That's it.
Well, yeah, I genuinely love the movie. I think I said this in the group chat after I saw it, and I actually think that I liked Paul Dano as the Riddler more than the Joker, Heath Ledger as the Joker.
I've heard other people say this too, that I want them to just both be able to exist on the same tier of just doing very good jobs portraying villains. Like,
yeah, I think
I hate that immediately
saying that the way you said that. I think that I probably fall in that too, because I don't know. I feel like I feel that way in the moment because I just saw the movie.
Yeah.
But like, if I went back and watched The Dark Knight, I'd probably be like, yeah, this is so fucking sick.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I feel it. I realistically, I'm pretty sure, like, in my head, they're, like, on, like, a level playing field. I think that they're just
It's not even that. And, like, you could if you want to rate things, you want to, like, put them in, like, some numerical order because, like, you have some arbitrary reason in your head. Like, that's great. Do it. But, like, I just hate that everyone's knee-jerk reaction is like, this is the best fucking Batman. Like this is like, this is it. This is top tier. And it's like, all right, like, if that's how you feel, that's awesome. Like, or they could just, like, The Dark Knight can exist and be a really good Batman movie, and The Batman can exist and be a really good Batman movie. Yeah. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody just immediately has to, like, start, like, throwing punches over it, and it's just like, oh god, everybody relax. Like, Dano's a really good fucking actor. Like. And he knocked it out of the park on this one. He was
really
sick.
Impressive.
And, like, for people that, like, were skeptical on Pattinson, like, shame on you. You should have watched some of his other movies, not just been like, oh, the Twilight guy's Batman. Like, Good Times, he's fucking incredible in Good Times. High Life, incredible in High Life. Like, there's so many other movies that he's in, you know, like The Lighthouse. Like, there's a ton of stuff you can watch and be like, holy shit. Like, this dude can fucking act. Like, he's going to kill his Batman. And he does.
Yeah. I think the only real complaint I have... I don't even really want to go into it because
there's two things I want to say. The two things that, like, stole the show for me was Colin Farrell.
Oh my god, dude,
so good.
Yo, oh man, I fucking, so he did a Hot Ones episode recently, and Amanda went to see the movie with me, and I pulled the video up on YouTube, and I was like, oh hey, this is the guy that played the Penguin in the Batman movie.
Yo,
and she said. What? And I said, yeah, he played the Batman. He played the Penguin in Batman. And she goes,
no.
What are you fucking talking about? And I was like, that's him. And she's like, no, it's not. And I said, yeah, yes, it fucking is. They just put a bunch of shit on his face. She's like, the guy with the scars? I was like, the guy with the scars. I was like, they just put a ton of makeup on him.
Ton of prosthetics.
And she was like, okay. And I was like, and he's very Irish. And I started the video, and he immediately started, like, he starts talking right away, and he's fucking super Irish.
Yep.
And the accent he uses is the most Brooklyn, New York.
Kills
fucking,
it.
Like, crushed it.
When like, he drops, like, the, how you doing? To Bruce, I lost it. I was like, this is great.
After the car chase, and he's like, I got you! And he's screaming. I was like, oh, man.
The other thing that stole the show was the fucking Hot Rod Batmobile.
Oh, dude.
It was so good.
It was so good.
And, like,
man.
I don't usually, like, geek out over that stuff. It's just, like, whatever to me. But, like, the fact that that was just so grounded, and it was just this fucking, like, obnoxious hot rod. Like, it just, God. It was so cool.
I think that's, like, I think one of my favorite parts about this one in particular is that, like, how grounded it is. Like, you know, he's not military Batman. He's just, like, figuring it out. He just has a souped up hot rod with a jet engine on the back of it.
Like, yeah, that definitely. And, like, I think that they, and, like, I remember when Matt Reeves, in an interview with Rolling Stone, he was talking about how, like, he really wanted to replicate and, like, pay homage to the fact that, like, Nolan's Batmans were, like, trying to be, like, entrenched in realism in, like, in it, to an extent. Like, they still wanted to be superhero movies, but, like, they wanted to be, like, practical. And he, like, he, like, doubled down on that in a way that I thought was, like, really fucking cool.
Really good.
And, like, he executed on it so well.
He uses a wingsuit instead of, like, a cape that can
The wingsuit, like, sequence was so good.
It's great. Anyway, go see the movie. It's really good.
Go see the Batman. I want to see it again.
Yeah, I would like to see it again.
Yeah.
I remembered the major thing that I have watched and finished.
Okay.
And that was that show All of Us Are Dead on Netflix.
I don't even know what that is, dude.
It's a Korean zombie show.
Oh, okay.
If you were to watch the trailer for it, you would go, wow, this is just like Train to Busan, but it's not. It has nothing to do with Train to Busan.
But it's not.
It has literally nothing to do with Train to Busan. They even mention Train to Busan in the show. They, like, reference it. But it's really good. They do some unique things
with the genre, and it was really good. It was like 12 episodes, I think. Oh, I also listened to Denzel Curry's new record that
I listened to that today too on a long run, and it was good.
Yeah, it's very good. I don't think I finished it. I think I'm a couple tracks off the end, but
I like the T-Pain's on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other things that I've consumed media-wise that I want to talk about. I started watching Minx on HBO.
Oh, yep. I started that too.
Yo, good.
Yeah, very good.
Minx is cool.
Minx is cool. Yeah. A lot of dick in the first episode. God,
so many penises.
A whole lot of dick in that show.
Jake Johnson is hysterical.
Oh, man.
He's so good in it. Love that man. My girlfriend listens to the New Girl cast has a podcast. It's like Jessica Day, the gentleman that plays Winnie, and the girl that plays...
CeCe,
yeah. They had him on, and he was like promoting the show and stuff, and I think it was Winston, I can't remember the actor's fucking name. I'm gonna look it up so I stop saying this like an idiot. Who plays Winston in my brain's not, that's not what I, that didn't come up the right way. Okay, so either way, they asked Jake Johnson about like what's his like favorite part about filming, and he was like, the dicks. It's like, he's like, the child in me came out. He's like, I feel so bad for all those extras because I just laughed at their penises. And he's like, not that I laughed at their penises, but the fact that they were just naked in front of me.
Like, Lamorne Morris is.
Yeah, he's the one that asks him like the obnoxious question, like, you know, like, what was your favorite part? Like, knowing, like, he like baited him into it. Like, because I'm sure they all talk still. And he was like, come on, man. It was the penis montage. Like, and then the Zooey Deschanel was like, wait, there weren't like fake dicks, like they're not like prosthetics, like, you know, Euphoria uses fake penises, and he's like, no, he's like, these men just bearing it all for us. I'm like, okay, good to know. Like,
yeah,
so yeah, Minx is cool. It's a funny show. It's definitely, if you have HBO, it's worth checking out.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to think what else I've watched since the last time we recorded. Every time I do this, Pat, I say to myself, I'm just gonna like open up, I use the notes app on my fucking phone for everything. The one thing I don't use it for, which I should, is
what you're watching,
movies, music, everything. Yeah. Because like I consume so much fucking media. So shame on me. Whatever though. The other, I listened to a really, really good podcast this week. I've only listened to one other episode of the show, and it's Smartless. And it has Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and then I forget the other actor who's on it. And they have a podcast that they do once a week, and they have a lot of like celebrity guests on, and they just do interviews and stuff. And then they all like riff with each other, which is really good because Arnett and Bateman are really good friends, and like they just have like a very natural chemistry to like just like make fun of each other, but then like, you know, keep it professional. It's very funny, and they had two members of Radiohead on this week because they're in like a new side project. They had Tom York and Johnny Greenwood on, and like Jason Bateman is like a fucking huge Radiohead fan, so like his genuine like geeking out over it as someone who's also a huge Radiohead fan was so fucking cool. And like he gets to one point, he asks like this fucking like very like specific pointed, like nuanced question, and Arnett is like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, just calls him out. Like he's like, he says something to Tom York and Johnny Greenwood, like, oh yeah, guys, like, have fun with that one. And like, just like blows him up on it. It's so genuine and so funny. Like, it's something that like I would do to like one of you guys. Like, it was just like, oh my God. I texted my brother, me and him were talking about it. And I started listening to it, and I was like, dude, you gotta listen to this, it's great. And he was like, I already finished it. He's like, I need another hour of it. It was so good. So definitely, if you have any interest in that, check it out. It's very much worth your time. But I first listened to them, they had Johnny Knoxville on a few weeks ago, when he was promoting Jackass Forever. And that is another really, really good interview. So like I'll probably end up listening to more of their podcast. It's called Smartless. But I'll shamelessly plug them right now.
Good stuff. I watch clips from Steve-O's podcast every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some... It's just interesting, like, because when he... Especially when he has, like, other Jackass members on, but it's, like, really interesting hearing, like the bullshit either that they have done themselves or, like, stuff that happened behind the scenes or, like, you know, how fucking, like, obviously Steve-O had, like, a huge drug problem. So, like, hearing, like...
Yeah,
his about all that shit is, like, is super, stuff. Super interesting to me.
Yeah, then Knox... When they had Knoxville on, they asked him, like... The questions that, like, I would want to ask him. Like, how many concussions have you had? You know, like,
yeah.
And then, like, yeah. They ask them stuff about, like, filming. Because they all do movies, you know, Arnett and Bateman. And, like, they were like, what is the insurance policies like? And, like, Knoxville just started laughing. He was like, you guys would ask me that. Like, but then he goes on and explains it. And, like, talks about, like, you know, some of, like, the, like, logistics of these movies. And, like, it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. So, it's, you know. It was good. I'd recommend it. So I've also been catching up on Ozark. That was the other show I've been watching.
Yeah, I because we're dumb. Me and Amanda stopped watching season three with three episodes left.
I have
so we
a
picked
love...
it up and finished season three.
Okay, I'm in season three now, and I like it. I don't love Ozark. I like where it's going. I think season three so far for me has been my favorite, but like I literally had a hard time getting through the first season, and like I gave up on it a few times, and like now I'm catching up because I know like it's ending soon and I want to just like, you know, I want to see it through.
Yeah.
But I'm still very much like where like I think it's good, I like it, I'm not like in love with it. It's like there's sometimes I'm watching it and I'm like and then something happens and I'm like, fuck, like, you guys got me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the final episode of season three, I was like, like, very rarely does, like a season end and I go, oh, fuck, holy shit. Like, it happens, like, occasionally, but,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, they had a couple moments so far where I'm like, okay, good, they're not pulling punches. Like, because, like, a lot of crazy shit's going on. Like, it's, like, you know, it's, like, the one thing I'll say, and I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to spoil anything so no one has to worry about it. But, like, I feel like they do some things in the show where it's, like... Obviously, they're in, like, very fucked up situations, but then I feel like they're creating, like, more chaos for them just because they simply, like, the writers want to, like, just keep pushing the envelope, be like, oh, you think it's fucked up now? Like, just wait. Like, just wait. Like, just wait.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, come on. Like, this is getting ridiculous. And, like, we'll talk right after this because there's one thing I want to say about, like, something that happened in season two that just... Oh, I almost bailed out because I was like, this is too fucking much. But then like, they
season found... Season two or three?
Season two. But again, we'll talk about it after because I don't want to spoil anything for people that haven't watched Ozark. Yeah. But I will say this. I'm in season three now. I like it a lot. I'm definitely going to keep watching it.
The last, like, three episodes of season three are a fucking wild ride, bro. Like, this is some waggy shit.
Yeah, I'm in, like, I think I'm in episode three or four now. So it's, like, it's trending in that direction. There's a lot of, like, things that are going down which are very interesting. And they've done some... There's been some very specific choices they've made that I'm like, okay, this is gonna get funky. So, trying to see if there's any other music I want to recommend here, quick. I'm not gonna get into it because I don't want to waste the time. But yeah, you got anything else, Pat?
No, not that I can think of.
Awesome. All right, so as always, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. This was another episode of the OK Gamers podcast. If you want to talk to us more, go to our Discord. That's okgamers.com. That should link you to an invite. If that doesn't, you could reach out to me or Pat on Twitter. I'm at Zinzer Brian. Pat's at PC Mirth. If you want to reach out to the other two members of this podcast, that is Dan, who's at Dia Knowns, and Andrew, who's at Andrew Kevia. As always, enjoy the remainder of your lives.
Goodbye, my sweets. Goodbye.